ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Let's face it, our children, as they're growing up, they see all these things that are out there for them. It's enticing. Of course it is. If it wasn't enticing, there would be no problem for us because we would never sin. But sin is enticing. And are we instilling in our children, our grandchildren, our friends, family, how powerful God is and how important that relationship is with Him? Maybe the other reason wasn't only that they didn't pass it on, but maybe it was just unbelief on their part, that it wasn't such, a big deal to them. They refuse to see the power of God and the faithfulness of God in their lives. And, you wake up in the morning, it's another day, you do this, you do that, it's evening, you go to bed. The next day you wake up, you do this, you do that, you go to bed. And there's no time for God because my day is busy waking up, doing this, doing that, and going to bed. We don't spend time with God. Our faith is in trouble then. We don't look to Him like we need to. And in the end, what you have, you're not going to be able to pass on to your children or that next generation. We see that today, people who refuse to believe in God no matter how much they see of His power and faithfulness. And they serve the gods of the other nations. And God brings judgment. Why? Because they had the truth of God and they chose to reject it, to change it to fit what they wanted to believe. And that's what we see happening many times today. It's not that people don't have the truths of God. We have more Bibles, we have more commentaries, more CDs about God than ever before, don't we? We have more ways. I mean, we got to hop on the internet and get commentaries, get anything for free on there. It's just that people refuse to believe it, and they end up changing it to fit their lifestyle, what they want to do, and future generations will be infected with that poison. And even if they didn't have any of these things to help them, let's say they didn't, okay? They're still without excuse. Why? Turn over to Romans chapter 1. I'll show you the reason why. It's really kind of simple. We make it complicated, but it's not. We're going to pick up in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. And we're told this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you see why they are accountable before God? They suppressed the truth. They held it down. The truth was there. And specifically what Paul is saying and what the Lord is saying here in Romans is creation. God has created everything. These men know that, but they suppress the truth and they believe the lie and they worship the creature or evolution instead of the Creator, the true and living God. Stephen Hawking, I believe he passed away a short time ago, was one of the most brilliant minds in the world. And he shows how God's not needed. And his scientific argument is brilliant. Okay, sarcasm, sorry. This is what we're told in this article. God did not create the universe. The man is arguably Britain's most famous living scientist, says in a forthcoming book. In the new work, The Grand Design, Professor Stephen Hawking argues that the Big Bang, rather than occurring following the intervention of a divine being, was inevitable due to the law of gravity. In his 1988 book, A Brief History of Time, Hawking had seemed to accept the role of God in the creation of the universe. But in the new text, co-written with American physicist Leonard Mlodinow, had said new theories showed a creator is not necessary. The Grand Design, an extract of which appears in the Times today, sets out to contest Sir Isaac Newton's belief that the universe must have been designed by God as it could not have been created out of chaos. And this is what he said. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous generation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists, why we exist. It's not necessary to invoke God to light the blue touch paper and set the universe going. So here's the most brilliant mind, scientific mind, at one time. And he says, because the law of gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Does that concern any of you that from absolutely nothing, no, nothing at all, everything is created because of gravity? But there was no gravity because there was nothing there. So something out of nothing gives nothing. There's a song like that. Isn't there something like that? Something, I don't know. I won't sing it. Isn't that crazy? The most brilliant mind, what has he done? He suppressed the truth. He knows something can't come out of nothing. And yet, if he rejects that theory, then he has to believe in God created everything. And think about it. Where does no information gain more and more information? Nowhere. We don't gain information without putting information in. Very sad that people today suppress the truth of knowing God. All they have to do is look at creation. It's so simple. How complex life is. It just makes sense that God created us. We've gone from, in their evolutionary process, from asexual reproduction to sexual reproduction. How does that even happen? Why did it even happen? Because it seems like asexual reproduction, mitosis, cells divide, is the best way. You don't need anyone. You don't have to remember birthday cards and anniversary cards, right? Why would this evolve? And think of these bodies. How do they just appear like this? You have a heart, you need blood. You need blood, you need blood vessels. You have blood vessels and a heart, but you need lungs. Why? Because you need to take in oxygen to breathe. How does that all just happen? Oh, it takes millions and millions. I don't care how many millions of years you have. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's why everyone is guilty before God, because he has given us creation to show there is a God. That's what Psalm 19 talks about. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? But it doesn't tell us about God. And if you read further on in the psalm, it talks about the Word of God. And that's the Word of God shows us who God is and how we can have a relationship with him, how our sins can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. But if you reject him, God will give you over to things like these bizarre scientific theories from people that think they're so smart, but they're foolishness. And Paul says, you're without excuse. And what happens is, you think about it, how many years have we been, you know, teaching evolution in the school system? And look at the number of kids today that are committing suicide. Is there a correlation? I'm sorry, I think there is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there is. You know why? Because evolution says your random chance happening, a product of coming out of the primordial slime pool, and you're meaningless in life. You're born, you live, you die, that's it. So you're not important. So what does it really matter? if I live or die. It doesn't. It does. And that's what God says. I formed you in the womb. I loved you. I died for you so you could live with me. Every single person on this planet, man, woman, and child, is important to God. But we've taken that away from them. They've lost that hope. And now the world says, you're not important. You're just a random chance happening. Are you kidding me? You are so important to God. One writer put this into perspective about the next generation and just moving away from God. Here in Judges 2:10, we come to the heart of the second generation syndrome. It's a lukewarmness, a complacency, an apathy about amazing biblical truths that we have heard from our childhood or from our teachers. It's a pattern which challenges churches and even nations. And nowhere does it work with more devastating effect than in Bible colleges and theological seminaries, where day after day we come in contact with God's truth. History tells us that not even the most vivid display of the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit will prevent this problem. But why? Why did it happen then, and why does it happen to us? We must realize two things about this kind of complacency. First is something Eric Fromm once pointed out when he said, hate is not the opposite of love, apathy is. To be complacent in the face of Calvary is the greatest possible rejection of God. The second is that complacency grows like cancer. Maybe part of the problem lay with the first, Joshua's generation. Interesting, however, the book of Judges puts none of the blame there. The second generation was held responsible for their failure, and God would not allow them to shift the blame. What are we passing on to the future generations? And I pray that it's a love for God, a love for His Word, that causes us to love people unconditionally. But they have a choice to make. Let's give them all the information they need to make the best decisions in their life, to come to that saving faith. Do generations change? Yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, during the hippie days, okay? I had long hair. You know, I had the Let's Boogie t-shirt. I had the red, white, and blue shoes that I wore. I had the platform shoes, the 3-inch platform. You know, I think it made me 5 feet tall back then. They were orange and brown suede and blue and gray suede ones. They were cool. You laugh. They were groovy, man. See? Praise the Lord. Amen. Preach it, brother. He came on the closet, yeah. But generations change. Styles change. Here's one thing that stays the same. The heart of man. That doesn't change. So do we reach people differently? Yeah, we may. We have different styles of music from, you know, when I was growing up. But the heart of man is the same, and they still need to hear the same thing, the gospel message. What we've done today is we've changed the message because we don't want to offend people. So many churches talking about sin is bad. We are not going to do that because we need to draw people in. We don't want to push them out. If you care about people, you're going to tell them the truth. Every single one of us are sinners separated from God. And granted, I don't really like telling people they're sinners. I like people to tell me that they're sinners. And hey, if you were to die today, where do you think you would go? You think you'd go to heaven? Oh, yeah, because I'm a pretty good guy, you know. I've done all kinds of good. I help people, you know. I'm a good guy. And, you seem like a really nice person. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah, everybody does. Oh, so you're a liar. You get him thinking. Okay, well, that's one. Have you ever stolen anything? Anything? Paperclip, pencil? Well, of course, everyone. I mean, a paperclip, a pencil? Of course, yeah. So you're a lying thief. So let me ask you again. Do you think you're good enough for heaven? Because you just told me right now, we've only gone to two things. You said you're a liar and a thief. That's not good. So here's the thing. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And our sin, the Bible says, separates us from God. But here's the wonderful news. God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. You see, you never told them they were a sinner. They told you. And that's a good way, because you want people to think about these things. You don't want to just give them information. If you're sharing the Word of God with people. Say, hey, could you read this passage here? Just read it. Because when they read it, it really starts to sink in. They start to think about it. Where if I read it, they may not get it as much. They may not be paying attention. But when they are, they're paying attention. They're reading the passage and they're seeing it for themselves. And it implants in their brain. Our responsibility as Christians is to let people see our faith is real. Again, that we love the Lord, we love reading His Word, and so on. You know, when I look at some of the warnings that Charles Spurgeon gave, you know, he taught some 125 years ago. And you listen to some of the things he wrote, you go, man, it sounds like he's from today, right? Or even J. Vernon McGee, from like 30 or 40 years ago, you listen to what he was warning the church about, you know, it sounds like he's speaking of today. I can't imagine if these men were around today what they would write. How their hearts would be broken. These are just two men that were warning the church of what was going on. We need to be in the Word of God, be men and women of the Word, and let people see our faith is real. Because after this godly generation dies, we see the consequences. And that's our last point. Look at Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherahs or the Canaanite goddesses. Now, we're going to dig into these verses more next time, so I'm not going to go in depth on these. But look how quickly they turned from the Lord because they never developed a true relationship with Him. You know, I do realize that some might say that parents have no right to instill in their child the things of God. You know, don't tell your children to believe in Jesus. Let them find out for themselves. Let them decide for themselves. Well, there's many problems with that, but I'll tell you what, if you're not teaching them what to believe, there will be someone who will. Let me give you 4 points on this real quickly. It goes counter to all the teaching of Scripture that parents are to teach truth about God. Children need to be trained in the things of God. Of course they do. And as parents, grandparents, we're responsible. As leaders in the church, we're responsible for teaching the people of God the things of God. The second point is that it's impossible not to teach children about God because not to teach them is to teach them plenty. If you're not teaching them the things of God, they're learning what you are believing. They're watching you. And you're basically telling them, you know, the Lord doesn't mean that much to me. Yeah, it's nice to go to church, but, you know, it's not that important. The third point is, it's not true that teaching children about God has to make them close-minded and irrationally prejudiced. And we see that, we hear that today, you know. Oh, if you only tell them about Jesus, they're going to be so, you know, closed-minded. They're going to be hateful and intolerant. But that's not true. I'll tell you what. If your faith is built on sand, then that's what you will instruct your children about. Yeah, they will be intolerant because your faith is not built on anything strong. It's not built upon the rock. But don't we have compelling reasons for being a Christian? We better. Why are we a Christian? And if we have compelling reasons to why we're Christians, then instill that to your children, your grandchildren. Think about it. Do people accuse parents of being prejudiced when they teach their children that the earth is round and goes around the sun? No. Well, aren't you instructing them in that? Why can't they just figure things out for themselves? Maybe they feel that the sun goes around the earth and the earth is still. Can't they decide for themselves? No, because it's wrong. Why do we teach our children the things of God? Because it's right. They need to know right from wrong. They need to know. And I love how the Scriptures do this for us. When you read the Scriptures, do you see the men and women of God just perfect, never having any problems? And you know what? I am really thankful for that. Because if these men and women did nothing wrong, I would feel horrible. because that's not my life. I screw up. These people screwed up. And we see the love of God always drawing them back. That's a good thing. We know the truths of God and instruct your children on that. And the last point is simply unloving and cruel. It's unloving and cruel not to give a child what he needs most. Absolutely. I mean, it'd be like holding food and water from your child. That would be cruel. Well, here is life-giving food and water. Jesus, the bread of life, the fountain of living water. Why would we not want to give these to our children? And granted, as they grow up, they're going to have to make decisions for themselves. And those teenage years are tough because they're trying to be their kids and they're trying to be adults and there's the struggles. But you keep instilling in them and you keep loving them and you keep showing them that your faith is real and God loves them. So that as they grow up, they can make that decision for themselves. Make no mistake about it. And I don't think I have to tell you this, but the days we're living in are getting darker and darker. And that's what the Bible tells us. But what dispels the darkness? Light. Go in a dark room, turn on the light, what happens to the darkness? It's dispelled. The light dispels the darkness. That's why, you know, Christians are so worried about, you know, oh my, it's getting bad, it's horrible, you know, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to do this, we're not going to, I don't know, God's still alive, right? Last time I checked. So can he still work in a very dark world? Absolutely. Let your light shine to dispel that darkness. And sometimes that darkness is just in the heart of the person you're talking to. And all of a sudden, the light goes on and they see Jesus. They come to that saving faith. Guess what? The light has dispelled the darkness, the light of Jesus. And isn't that what we want? Don't give up. It's so important that we shine in this dark world. The story here of the children of Israel is sad because they had known the works of God. They had seen the works of God. And it just wasn't passed on to the next generation. The unbelief had driven them away. They were too busy for the things of God. They let the things of the world come into their lives and it just messed them up. But that's a warning for us. These things were written here for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. You see, God is still working. Remember what the Lord said to the southern kingdom of Judah in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Maybe some of you this morning are struggling in that. You're worried about future. You have no hope. Did the Lord give up on the southern kingdom of Judah? Absolutely not. He says, look, I know the thoughts I think towards you and you and you and you and you, all of you. It's thoughts of peace, not of evil. I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. You need to keep your eyes focused on me. I know it's dark out there. I know it's tough out there. I know things are challenging your faith every single day. But I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. I want you to find the peace in me. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. That's just the reality. But in me, you will have peace. See, it's all perspective. Where are we going to place our faith in? Or who are we going to place our faith in? Never give up. Just keep looking up. And allow the Lord to strengthen you and give you the wisdom you need to shine for Him. May we not say to our children or our grandchildren or our friends when they ask us, what is God like? May we not reply, I don't know, son, we've forgotten. What a horrible thing, right? We know the truths of God found in the Word of God. We know these things, and as we live these things and speak forth these things to others, we pass the knowledge of God on to future generations. And that's what I'm doing here by teaching you the Word of God. I'm passing the things of God on to you. As you read God's Word, God is showing you His tremendous love for you. So when someone says, what is God like? You can say, oh, let me tell you, I have a story for you that will change your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Because we are not perfect people, we'll never be perfect people in these physical bodies. But you never give up on us. And Lord, you always want to give us a future and a hope. because it's all based in you. And that peace that surpasses all understanding we can have in our lives. And thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, help us to be a light in this world, that we pass the things of God on to future generations, that they, our children, our grandchildren, our family, friends would see God is real in our lives. When they look at our lives, they would see the things you're doing because we share it with them. And Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.